me to Genesis chapter 1 today. I really was going to go a different direction, but I really feel an unction of the Holy Spirit as I moved even closer into what God was having for us here in Genesis chapter 1. God said to me to begin to declare that we are who He said we are, and that we have a divine purpose here on the earth. And I want you to know something today, that many want us to give up our position and our place in society. And many want us to get into fear. Many of us want to escape from the purpose that God has sent us here in the earth. And I believe that God has given us a mandate for dominion here in the earth. Amen? And so I know that today, and just to let you know, there are several families. There's like five or six families that are gone this weekend. And got a call right beforehand that another family was working today, but we're glad that you're here. Amen. And I don't want to back up from this message in any way, shape, or form. I want to bring it to you as God gave it to me this weekend. And so as we lay this out, I want to begin here for a specific reason. Because in the month of October, I'm going to be ministering on Wednesday nights, not on Sundays. But on Wednesday nights, I'm going to be teaching on the end times. I'm going to be teaching on every major aspect of the teaching on end times. There are 4 to 5 major belief systems about the end times. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to give you the knowledge of the Word. It's not my responsibility. It is one of the most controversial subjects. Somebody told me, I'm not going to tell you who told me, but somebody suggested that I not do this because it's insane. But how many knows me long enough that insanity runs in my family? Amen? Amen? If you look at my left eye, you'll see there's a crazy place right there. So, amen? So, leave me alone. I'm happy. You don't want to ever bother a crazy person anyways. Okay? You could get into trouble. But I really believe that God has given this to me, and it's really at the center of my heart to unfold the Word of God towards the end times. And as senior pastor and as the apostolic ministry that God has sent here, I believe that God's given me a mandate to unfold the Scripture concerning the end times. I am not saying that I am all-knowing or that I know the total end and the very beginning and the very end to the end times, but I do believe that God has given me some insight and revelation to give to you. But I'm only going to do it on Wednesdays, not going to do it on Sundays. Amen? And I'm not sure I'm going to put it on the webpage either. So if you want to hear it, you got to come on Wednesdays. I know, I hear some of you say, well, that's not fair. Well, like I told somebody this week, life's not fair. In fact, I told a young man this week, I said, life is not fair. If you're expecting life to be fair, life's not going to be fair. The only way you're going to get fairness is in the kingdom of God. And the reason why is because only true justice lies within the nature of God. Man does not have that nature. He's given over to his base nature. His nature will rule him. Your base nature will rule you. Are you hearing me? See, we are all people who are filled with biases and racist ideals and feelings on the inside of us. Some of those things lie at a very deeper level in our life, but they are still there. Are you hearing me? Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, you can be white and have racist feelings. You can be black and have racist feelings. You can be brown and have racist feelings. You can be Oriental and have racist feelings. You can be Indian and have racist feelings. It's just reversed in that context. The only thing that frees us from our racism, the only thing that frees us from our biases and our prejudices is to be in Christ. See, that is what causes us to be equal. Whether you are male or female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, we are all one in Christ Jesus. What brings us to oneness and what brings us to that place is Christ Jesus. He is the neutralizer. See, he's the neutralizer. When Christ comes into it, then sin cannot abide. Hate cannot abide. Racism cannot abide. Are you hearing me? Prejudice cannot abide when we are in Christ. If we are not in Christ, those things will rule our lives. Because, see, you cannot trust yourself. See, you cannot trust your nature. See, we think, well, education and knowledge will give us the ability. If we are educated, the more knowledge we have, then by that knowledge, we will be more open. We will be more free. And what knowledge does is it frees us. But the truth is, many times, is the more knowledge you have, the more biased that you become. And if you only have one side of that knowledge, that's why many of you young people who are getting ready to go to college, you have to be careful, because what you're going to do is you're going to get a slant, but not everybody's slant. Are you hearing me? Because no matter who it is, I used to have an excellent history teacher in college. And how many knows, how many loves to have professors who don't have to use the book to teach? I mean, if you have a professor like that, it's an exciting process. Right? But the truth of it is, he had a slant on certain aspects of history. And those things still came out in his instruction and his teaching. How many hears what I'm saying? And if you agreed, it was like, wow, that's wonderful. But if you didn't agree, then that was a hard time when he was teaching it. Are you listening to me? So you have to understand that each one of us have come from different slants, different positions, and you have been given information into your mind. See, you've had things downloaded into your mainframe. Are you hearing me? See, knowledge doesn't disappear on its own. Are you listening to me? Turn to somebody and say, knowledge doesn't disappear on its own. You don't only just get knowledge by teaching, but you get knowledge by experience. See, how you were raised by your mother and father, that knowledge was imputed unto you. It was given unto you. It was downloaded into you. The problem is, how many knows, it doesn't come out until you have kids. I don't know what it is about kids, but it just like, there's no way I'm going to be like my dad. Mm-mm. Man, when I grow up, I can tell you right now, I am not treating my kids like my father and my mother did. Mm-mm, not me. I'm going to be better than that. Yes, sir. Until you have kids. And all of a sudden, in the moment of pressure, all of a sudden, here comes all of this data that you thought was hidden away, that was under the surface. And what happened is that those situations and those things on the inside of us, they're there, they're under the surface, and pressure causes the fissure. It causes the split. It causes the opening, and out of it comes, you know, all those books you read about reasoning and love and, you know, I love you and I'm going to reason. But given enough pressure, enough sleepless nights, enough of not having your own time, all of a sudden, out of the belly of hell, where there was so much patience and love, comes Freddie. Hey! Amen? And you think afterwards, like, where did that come from? You hear these words and you think, did I just hear my dad? Did I just hear my mother? Why? Because it took certain things. See, it's easy to say to ourselves, is that I am going to be. I am. But see, the test, the real litmus test, does not come when everything is fine and wonderful. It is in the times of pressure. It is in the time of lack. It is in the time of dearth. It's in the time when the drought has come, how we respond in that situation. See, we don't know the real us until. Amen? So we have to understand that we have a lot of knowledge that has been downloaded to us. How many knows that if you are a sociologist, and all of us to a degree are, some of us even more so because we study people and cultures, that if you have any quality time with anybody and they begin to talk, they will tell you how they believe and how they feel about things. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, we may be the quietest person in the world, but given the opportunity, we will share our opinions. The knowledge is within us. What we have done with that knowledge. Now, you say, then, Pastor, what are we to do? The only way to be able to come into the mind of Christ is this. He said, be not conformed to this world. Everybody say, this world. It is the systems of this world. Egypt, which is the world that we came from when we were unbelieving and in darkness, that enslaved us. Jericho, the system that tries to keep us from inheriting the promised land. And the system of Babylon, which is the prevalent system that we live in now, that constantly causes us and has constantly warned against us to compromise against the Word of God. To constantly compromise our moral compass, constantly causing us and wanting us to compromise our spiritual compass, and there's always that warfare. So Babylon is at work, and the system of Babylon is at work. That's why John said when he wrote to us in 2nd and 3rd John, when he wrote to us and out of the book of Revelations, he said, you're looking for the man Antichrist, but the Antichrist is already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here. And if the spirit of Antichrist was already in John's time, and the spirit was already there, then that spirit is prevailing now. And we have a choice that we have to make. And it's a choice that we are being faced with constantly. Either to give our rights up to society, to give our rights and the gifts that God has given to us, or we are going to have to fight, not fight, but we're going to have to fight to prevail against the onslaught of the spirit of Babylon that is in the world today and that is truly here in Wilkes County. Are you hearing me? We have a fight. He said there is a fight of faith. There is a fight for our life. There is a fight that goes on in us all the time. That is the fight of whether that Karen is going to have her way or the Holy Spirit's going to have His way. Whether Mark is going to have his way or whether the Holy Spirit is going to have his way. Now, I know that none of you are like that to where that you want your way. Amen? And I know none of you struggled this week with that. I know that none of you struggled with it. We always, how many knows it? We struggle with it constantly, don't we? Well, why is it? Well, because there's a battle going on for who is going to have dominion. God has given us a dominion mandate here in Genesis chapter 1. Are you with me today? In Genesis chapter 1, I'll be going over this again, but I want to read it. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. If we left it there, it would seem so. that God has given us dominion over the animal kingdom. But verse 27 goes on to say, so God created man in his own image. I want you to understand that that is imperative, circle, his own image. We have been created in the image of God. No, I'm not getting into that you are little gods, even though that you have godlike abilities within you, the ability to create. But here's what I want you to understand today. Don't get lost in the perversion and off-centered about what God is trying to say here. You've been created in the image of God. And what I want to go back to is that you have a creative ability in you. You either have the ability to create evil or you have the ability to create good. Remember who created the devil. Well, he just was. No. All things were created by God. You have the ability to create evil and you have the ability to create good. Come on, turn to somebody. Is that you have the ability to create good or evil. That ability lies within you. Come on, stay with me today. I want to lay a foundation. That ability lies within us today. We have that ability. That's why he tells us on a constant basis. Why? Well, because that same ability is that we know that the earth and the worlds were formed by the words of God. We know that the very foundations of the world, the worlds that we see, were created by the words of God. And he tells us that the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. That from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever condition your heart is in is what is going to proceed out of your mouth. And that's what we have. See, we have the ability to prophesy our tomorrows. See, today you can prophesy Monday. Amen? See, you can prophesy your tomorrow. Turn to somebody and tell them, you have the ability to prophesy your tomorrows. We have the ability to speak into tomorrow by faith. And we have the ability to speak and say that God has given us dominion. See, here is the truth. Look in with me here. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So who was created in the image of God? Just men? Just men? Amen. But he created us in the image. Women have been created in the image of God. Just a little side note here is this, is that you are not complete within yourself. You are not complete within yourself. That's why that God created marriage. Verse 28, and God blessed them. Somebody say, God's blessed me. And God said, everybody say, God said unto me. God has blessed me. Come on, say it again. God has blessed me. And God said to me, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Our first priority today is what? It is that we need a biblical concept of what dominion is. Here in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, I just read to you. First, and the first concept is man's dominion is both a created fact and a command to be fulfilled. We were created to have dominion. When God created mankind, he did not create him to be subservient in the earth. God created man to have dominion in the earth, not only in terra firma, but in the earth that we walk around in every day. See, I contend, I want to say something challenging today, and maybe even startling to some of you, but I want you to know today that God has called you and created you, and not only created you, but declared that you are to have dominion in the earth, and that you shall be fruitful, and you shall multiply, and you shall subdue the earth, and you shall have dominion. God has called us to that, but I want you to know that in every aspect of our life, we're going to have to begin to fight to reclaim the things that the enemy has stolen or the things that we have lost back to the enemy and back to the world. It's time the church begins to arise and to be that dominating force that God has called us to. The reason why, look, folks, I want you to know something. It's a beautiful, romantic thing to look at Mother Teresa and look how self-sacrificing she was. Amen? But I want you to know something, sweetie. She still had to feed the poor, and she still had to buy medicine, and she still had to clothe the naked. And darling, that didn't just come by wishing it so. It was because people gave in to her ministry. People gave in so that she could have dominion over those people. She may have looked like a passive individual, but she was a person who took dominion over the world that she was in. She took dominion over the sick. She took dominion over the hurting. She took dominion over the naked. How? Because God gave her a ministry, and there were those who fed into that ministry to make it happen. Whatever the world that you have been called to, God has called you to take dominion over your world. Amen. You might as well preach with me. You're here, stuck with me. You might as well enjoy the ride. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? I said, you're already here. You need to enjoy the ride that you're here. Is look, don't take it as condemnation, but take it as a wake-up call. Is that we're not too old, we're not too sick, we're not too poor, we're not too anything. God has called you to take dominion over it, or somebody will take dominion. Amen? Dominion is both a created, that is that we have been created in the image of God, and we've been created for dominion. Here's what I contend. I contend the reason why that many are unhappy today is because they're always being dominated by someone or something. They're either being dominated by work when God hasn't necessarily called you to work for somebody else, that God has called you to be a blessing, and that God has called you. And if God has called you into the workforce and He has called you into the marketplace, if that is to be a teacher, if that is to be a business person, if that is to be a probation officer, if that is to be a factory worker, then I want you to know that no matter where you are, God wants to raise you up. You need to take dominion where you're at and realize that God wants to prosper you and bless you. Why? So that He can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this earth. Because when it's all said and done, are we fulfilling the commandment of Genesis 1? It is both a position and a call to action. It's not that God has not only called you to that place, but God has called you to action. The created fact is Adam was created in the image of God. A position of authority above all other creation. He not only created man in this position, He decreed man to what? Have this position. In verse 26 He said, let them have dominion. And the correct language is imperative here. It's not declarative yet. Here in verse 26, the correct language here is imperative, such as taking dominion. We don't have to take anything. But we're in a habit of saying we've got to take back. What I'm saying to you is this. Instead of that, we need to realize that Christ has already paid the price. And this was something that God revisited me on. He said, take your mindset out of a defensive mechanism that is so used to being defensive by what people are saying and by what people... We are so attuned, we are so conditioned to be defensive, waiting for the next shoe to drop. Always in that defensive mechanism, always waiting for somebody to attack us, somebody to blame us, somebody to hate us, somebody to disagree with us. When God is saying, take your position out of the defensive and put yourself in the offensive. See, the reason why I don't have to take dominion is because He decreed here, I already have it. I don't have to take my marriage. Amen? Somebody said, I lost that loving feeling. the righteous brothers. I've lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. I've lost that loving feeling because you're gone, gone, gone. See, we don't have to take back our marriages. You just got to begin to exercise yourself in your marriage. You are the husband. You are the wife. You need to know what God has called you to and what your position is. Karen doesn't have to take her position in that house. She just has to exercise herself. Not exercise herself in my role, but in her role. And if she will exercise her faith in who God has called her to be, and I will exercise my position in who I am, nobody has to take anything. We just have to be who God has called us to be. See, if we begin to change our mentality and quit believing we've got to fight for everything, we've got to war for everything, we've got to struggle for everything, when what God wants us to realize is you don't have to struggle for it, you just have to begin to exercise your faith over the things that are trying to dominate you, when God has called you to the place of dominion in your life. Amen. See, we already have it. Adam lost it. He forfeited it through the fall and through the curse. We know that, right? Because what does sin do? Sin will always take you out of the place of dominion. Amen. I'm preaching a lot better today than you all saying amen. Did you get all your shout out at Carmen's? Amen. You need to find it again. Amen. Are you listening to me? See, I want you to hear this today, is that sin always forfeits dominion. See, and even though you stop sinning, and if I'm looking at you, it's not because I think you're sinning. So don't, some of you, I start in you. Don't put your, I'm not talking to you. Just talking about you. No. See, sin always takes us out of dominion. If I get into iniquity and I get into sin, it always takes me. Even though I have stopped sinning, the thing that I have to deal with is not the sin anymore, Rick. I have to deal with the condemnation. But condemnation is sometimes more diabolical than sin sometimes, because you can sin today, Russell, and not sin tomorrow. But the problem is that you can stop sinning, but then you have to deal with the condemnation for the next 20 years. Well, somebody help me today. If I ain't giving you something that you can get a hold of today, it's not sometimes the sin. The enemy knows if he can get you to sin, sure, you can stop the sin, but then live in condemnation for the next 20 years. Live with the question. If he can get you to the place to where he can get you to question, well, you know, the reason why this has happened in my life is because, you know, of all the mistakes. If I hadn't have done that, amen? If I hadn't have smoked that, if I hadn't have drank that, if I hadn't have gone there, amen? So what we do is we live in the vicious circle of condemnation. And then we walk around with a loaded gun all the time of condemnation. Sure enough, somebody comes along and trips our trigger. Amen? More believers are killed by accidental killings and shootings than any other death. Why? Because our life is loaded with condemnation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove out what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But your mind has to be transformed. Transformed from what? It has to be transformed from condemnation. It has to be transformed from that place. Why? Because any time you live in that place, You are literally taken out of your position of dominion and you put yourself in a subservient place in your life and you serve the thing that is condemning you. You serve your past sin. You serve your mistakes. You serve your faults. You serve the words of your condemning father. You serve the words of your condemning lovers. You serve. Why? Because you develop soul ties to those things that rob and steal from you on a constant basis and keep you in a servant-slave mentality. The devil doesn't care if you go to church the rest of your life. You think he cares about you going to church? No. I had a flat tire today. The devil kept me out of it. No. No, you ran over a nail. Devil's not in charge of all the loose nails in the earth. Man, he has a lot of responsibilities. Okay? Devil broke my washing machine. No, it's 25 years old. You've been using it 3 times a week. And sometimes overloading your washing machine. Hello? And when he gave up and says, I'm tired, I quit. Wasn't the devil. I said, it wasn't the devil. I said, it wasn't the devil. But I do believe sometimes the devil's at work keeping your mouth shut. Isn't the head not good enough? No. Are you hearing me today? You take yourself out of a place of dominion and you put yourself in a place of subservient to the thing that you're struggling with. You haven't been created. Listen to me now. You were created in the image of God. You were not created in the image of sin. It doesn't make any difference what color your skin is or what your ethnic background is because God created. Look, God created a brand new ethnic. Are you listening? Say it with me. God created a brand new ethnic. The new ethnic is called the body of Christ. It's called the born again believer. It's called no matter whether you are bond or free, Jew nor Greek, female or male, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me today? But every time we get over into anything outside of the Word of God and we stop and serve those things, we take ourselves out of dominion and it begins to rule over us. Now I want you to stop and I want you to think today. How many things have ruled over your life? How many things are ruling over your life today? How many of you are ruled by the lack of money? I'm not asking for a hand raised. See, isn't it amazing? And here's something I want to share with you. The more you think about something, listen to me. The thing that you desire sometimes the most, why does it escape your grasp and your hold? I can tell you why. Because you're trying to attain something that you've got to learn to trust God to put into your hands. And God can't put it into your hands as long as you don't give God the trust that the money doesn't belong to you, that you have been called to be a steward over everything that God's given you. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1 again, and I want you to see it. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to look at it here. I want to take a whole completely different look at this, and I want you to view this today, and I want you to see this. That Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, and 28, Grayson, okay, has a deeper meaning here. God has called us to be stewards over the earth. Are you hearing me? That he has placed in our hands. See, I want you to hear something. God has called us to the earth. Amen? Yeah, see, I even believe you shouldn't take your gum wrappers and throw them out of your car. Oops. See, I believe that God has called us to be responsible of the earth. I know you got a lot of people out here that are a box of granola. Amen. A lot of flakes and nuts and crunchy parts. Okay. And there's a lot of people who believe that the life of a whale is greater than a life of an unborn baby. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? But I think all life is valuable. All life is important. Are you hearing me? But the life of an unborn baby is not more important than the life of a whale. Are you hearing me? Amen. Well, I mean, that's just the truth. Are you hearing me? The life of that cow that I'm going to eat today. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? India have people that are starving on its street. Millions of people who are starving on its streets every day. But yet, they won't kill a cow because they have been deceived in thinking that their ancestors live in that cow. And if they kill that cow, that might be their grandpa. Here's my belief. Thank you, grandpa. Amen. I thank you now for the sacrifice that you're going to make on behalf of me and my family now. Amen. Are you hearing me? You see how silly we can become. How silly the world has become. Why is that, Pastor? Because what has happened is the world and the doctrine has been perverted. The world has been perverted. Why is that? Because the church is not taking dominion in the place where we have. And I'm going to go over this again. The reason why is because the world, because we did not take dominion, what has happened, we have relinquished our blessings, our rights to other people. You want to know why they're rioting in Charlotte? Because the church has not taken its rightful place. Are you hearing me? It's not the responsibility of the government. The government is not going to be able to calm the hatred and the injustice that is done to these individuals every day. Look, if you're white today and you're sitting in this congregation, listen, don't be condescending. You don't know what it's like getting up every day and being judged by the color of your skin. It's easy to judge others. You, no matter that you were born poor and that you were born on the backside of some railroad tracks, but yet you still are white. And because you're white, there comes with that a certain privilege in society. So you haven't got up this morning in brown skin or black skin. So you need to love your brother and know that they have lived with something all their life. They have lived with that hatred and that racism and that bias all their life. Every day from the day they walked and they saw the look in someone's eye that they were different. Their hair was different. Their skin was different. But here's what I want you to say. And here's what I want you to know deep in your heart. We cannot make up for all of the injustices that are done. But the church can begin to rise up now. And the church can be the church. We can't control Charlotte, but we are here in Wilkes County, and we can make a difference in this county. We can be a different people. We can be a different church with a different heart and a different mentality. Amen? We already have it. We have it in Christ again. Christ has paid the price, and I'm going to go through it, but not today. A theological fact that I believe is undisputed in this house is that our authority is in Christ today. You see, it's not about taking dominion, but learning to exercise it. It's easy. Listen to me today. It's easy to say, I love my brother. See, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, I love my brothers and my sisters. Amen? I just want you to know today, I got to confess it. Can I confess something to you today? Pastor Karen has issues. I'm not going to bear this alone. I'm not bearing it by myself. She has issues. Yeah. Her. She has these issues that I have to confess has been there from the day that I met her. I'm sorry, honey. It's not enough for her that I tell her when I told her almost 45 years ago that I will cover you, I will love you, sickness and in health, good times, bad times. She had this seemingly unreasonable craving at times. She demanded that I show her that I don't just say it to her, but that I show her. Well, isn't it good enough? I told you at the altar that I loved you, that I said I would. I did. Men are the worst for it. Oh, and it helps me by you being quiet too. So thank you for that amen. The reason why is because we think that our sacrifice is greater than our wives' sacrifices. When's the last time you had a baby? When's the last time that you stayed up 3 days without sleep and still get up and go to work? Thank you for your silence. I appreciate your amen. Say, Pastor, quit picking on us guys. I just want you to understand today that Karen's had issues. It wasn't enough to say it. I had to demonstrate it and exercise it. See, I was created for her to marry her and to be her husband and take dominion in her life. Not to dominate her life. There's a difference between taking dominion and dominating. Are you hearing me? She was created to be my wife and take dominion to be my wife, and for us then to co-rule together and to take dominion with our children and in the ministry that God has given to us in this earth. Amen? Are you hearing me? See, this leads us to looking at the second aspect. The first aspect was that we were created. The second aspect is this, that we are to exercise dominion. Just because Adam was given both the position and the authority to have dominion in the earth, this does not mean he would be faithful in it. God has called us to the position and called us to the place that we are in, ladies and gentlemen. But it's going to take more than just because we have a title. We're going to have to begin to exercise it. It's not enough to tell this community that we love them. It's not enough just to say it. We've got to demonstrate it. In every corner, in every crack, every place in this community, to every drug addict that is drugged out of his mouth, to every woman that is being abused by her lover or by her husband, every child that does not have a parent, does not have a mama, does not have a daddy, everywhere that we look, to those who are going to sleep tonight, who woke up this morning that with an empty belly, every child that is being abused, God has called us to a ministry to exercise and take dominion in this earth to make a difference in this community. That is why that we are starting this community center. I can tell you why. Because I'm believing, God, that it will generate enough money that we will be able to reach and to minister to thousands of individuals. But I want it to be an example to you, to every one of you, that God will begin to generate a fire within your bellies. That whoever you are, wherever you are, that it's not too late for you to make a divine difference wherever you're at in this community and in this church. It's not a time to slack back. It's a time to embrace and to get a hold of the vision that God has for us, and that is to take dominion in this earth. He was created. You are, look, turn to somebody and look to the person to your left and to your right. Look at them. They were created. You were created for a special place in this earth. Every one of you were created. I'm serious. Take a look at the person next to you and look and realize you are created for a special place in this earth. Adam was given the garden. He was created to dress and keep it. That was to work and guard what God had given to him. Amen. God could have let it all stay as it was, but God added to man's position. He gave him direct revelation concerning his purpose. Verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. This is not a declarative statement as in verse 26. Here it is an imperative statement. It is a mandate, a command. This command is multifaceted. Be productive. Have lots of babies. Acquire property. Expand your territory. Apply your jurisdiction and govern what I have given to you. God has given you the authority to reach out and to take what belongs to you in this earth. You will not have those who will come along and agree with you, but God will agree with you. God will come alongside you. God will say, He will give you the strength. He will give you the vision. He'll give you the ability to take dominion. It may not be that God's called you to be the CEO of a company, but God says, take dominion in your home. Let it be the very best and see if God does not expand what you already have. Here it is. The command is multifaceted. We should see this in the broadest sense. In Genesis 1 and 28, as one writer puts it in this way, that is that we should look at every aspect of acquiring. Everything that we acquire is for a reason, for a godly purpose to change the world we live in for the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. How are we going to feed those hungry babies? How are we going to help the drug addicted? Well, we're just going to wait on the government, Pastor. Well, we can see how well equipped they have been. And look what our government has come to now. The beautiful choice that we have, A or B. How about F and Z? Because we've ran seemingly out of every good choice. Are you hearing me? And we are stuck. Our consciences are pricked. Amen. The lesser of two evils. But can I tell you today is this. God didn't call them. And we have put too much trust in our government. We put too much trust in our greenbacks. We put too much trust in man. And we put too much trust in horses and chariots. And it's time. Look, you think it's too late. Some of you got such a mentality because you've listened to all the fear mongers on television and all of those that are there that are pumping you with fear every day. And you think that, oh, just waiting for the escape, waiting for us to be able to get out, and it's left here. But I want you to know something. something until God's perfect will, till God's perfect plan is done on this life. Then the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church will not happen until the church is prepared to the place. God is not looking to pluck you out just to save you. God is looking for you to take dominion, to not just inherit, but to take and to take dominion in the place that He has called us to. We're not here to tear down. We're not here to fold our arms and to wait. We're here to what He's referring to. To be fruitful. It refers to marriage. To multiply. Indicates family. To fill the earth. That entails society. What are we doing to take dominion in society and subdue it, He says. That covers the whole scope of human endeavors and business and makes this the very previous three possible that we've been talking about. To subdue it all. One of the writers that I've been looking at here, Lady Hirsch, concludes even more broadly, by these sentences, the seal of God is stamped on the whole of family and civic life. God has put His stamp on the whole of life and civic life. Am I losing you today? I could expound on every and each point, but here is what I want you to get in your spirits today. Man was created for dominion, placed in dominion, and commanded to exercise dominion. Did you hear me? Man was created for dominion. You were created for dominion. You were placed in dominion, and you have been commanded to exercise dominion where you're at. So what happens is we don't walk in the truth of dominion. Unfortunately, when we mingle, when we neglect the principle, it has resulted in this, the whole of family and civic life being handed over to unbelievers. That's what we're seeing in the world. We have literally handed over our families. We've handed over our rights. There are people who are talking about turning in and having martial law, talking about turning into a socialistic society. I want you to know something, folks. Even though hate and even though doubt and fear is shouting at us at every point in our world, I'm here to say to you that as long as there is one Holy Ghost believer, as there is one who is going to call out to God and say, God, turn away your wrath. Turn away your judgment upon America. Don't let us be lost in this day, but let the church arise. Look, you may think you're alone here, but there are thousands of other believers around America that are crying out to God and who are saying the same thing. They're appealing to heaven and saying, heaven, hear us. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Don't forget us, God. We have been given a mandate of dominion. And in conclusion, where have you given up your dominion, your life? What lies have you believed about yourself and your family, your finances and your future, your very possibilities? Well, this is my lot in life. This is what I've been called. I've just been called to be a factory worker. Then you need to be the best. That those people in that factory know that you are a spirit-filled believer, that you are somebody who's an overcomer, and that you are planning to win every man and woman, boy and girl that you're at so that they will know the same King of Kings and the same Lord of Lords that you do. Take dominion. Has the system of Egypt, that is to enslave us, the system to enslave us to sin, will not let us go. The system of Jericho attempting to keep us from the promise of God. Or the system of Babylon, the spirit of compromise. The spirit of compromise that says, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too poor, I'm not gifted enough. But I quote to you again, be not conformed to this world, to the system of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, the dominion of your mind. We must first believe we were created for dominion. And second, He has declared and given us a mandate for dominion to exercise it in the earth. Let me tell you something today. I have no business being here in Wilkes County.
See, Tony, this was a job for a young buck. This wasn't a job for a 58-year-old man who should have been looking to retirement. So I can only draw one conclusion. I don't know what I'm talking about. But God does. Are you hearing me? And I can tell you, there are times I get up and I go out to my front porch and it's on a nice fall day and I put my feet up and I put my music on and I think to myself, I got my little world here. Some folks don't care. I can just live unto myself. And then I think, is that how I want to go out? If all I've got left is the movement of my little finger, let me tell you something. It's still enough to thump the devil every time he turns around. I have more power in my little finger than he is ever hoping to be in his life. So whatever I have left, whatever I have left to give, I'm going to give it in dominion and not being dominated. I think it's evident by folks that I'm not easily swayed. God has made me many times for my forehead, my face to be as flint as it was Ezekiel. And that I will not look upon the face of people, even though that they struggle. I know what God has placed in my heart. And I know that God is causing a fire, because I know that's been the prayer of me and mother, is that God would place a fire on the inside of many of you in this day and age. And as we get ready, the reason why that I'm doing this series now is to get us ready. If we don't know who we are, then all that's going to happen when I teach on Wednesday nights about the end times, you'll have a bunch of knowledge, but won't know what to do with the knowledge you have. God's called us to take dominion. How many believes that today? Come on, you don't even have to shout amen. You can just raise your hand. Amen. Come on, I know it's tough. Amen. Come on, raise your hand. Now see if you can get it past your head. Come on. Amen. God's called us to dominion, hasn't he? Well, how, Pastor? I can tell you how you can begin today. Look around your own life. Don't look at somebody else's life. Look around your own life. And say to yourself this. What have I given up control to? Amen? It's like a petulant child, you know. You know, keeps asking and asking and asking. You know what I'm talking about? Just, when am I going to get it? I want it. I need it. They don't stop. And they cry. And they keep after it. All the time. Asking. Till finally. Amen. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, when Grayson's crying, you know, the whole family's trying to comfort him and trying to find out why he cries. And you know why sometimes he cries? I know this is going to be a shocker. But sometimes he cries because he wants to, because he wants his way. Krista says all the time, I'll ask her, I said, why is he crying? She says, because I told him no. Because he wants his way. She says it all the time. Why is he crying? Because he wants his way, Dad. And I won't give him his way. All the time. I think she does a lot of times when I'm not around. But how many knows that? Amen? But see, if that child, if we are not taught, our responsibility is not to give everything to that child, but our responsibility is to teach our children to take dominion. And this is burning on the inside of me. Just because
you are walking in a place and say, I've lost too much. It's too much to try to gain. But I'm telling you, if you have a child, no matter how old that child is, if you have a grandchild, if you have people around you, if you are alive, if you're breathing, you have the ability to take dominion where you're at. To make a difference for the kingdom of God. So that we can, look, God wants to prosper. He wants to bless you. You want to know why that some things are not working out? They're not working out because, look, there are people in this church that have, you wouldn't even know how much they struggle. But because they believe that their monies don't belong to them and they give it, God supernaturally takes care of them every day of their life. And they still continue to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because God is not going to bless your laziness. And God's not going to bless you not giving. God's not going to bless it. He's not going to bless you not tithing. Well, I don't believe in tithing. And that's why it's not working out. Because you haven't taken dominion over your finances. You say, Pastor, why am I struggling? God gave me the greatest revelation since I've been down here. I have fought with sickness in my body from the day that I got here. Every aspect of my life. And I have warred and interceded in my body. And God finally spoke to me and said, take dominion over your body. Quit believing the lies. The enemy will lie to you and tell you, oh, you got cancer. You got some disease. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to be an invalid. And he gives you all the pictures. God said to me, take dominion over your mind. Take dominion over your body. When we faced a crisis this summer financially, me and mother didn't run off into the bedroom and pull the covers over our head. We got down on our knees. We begin to cry unto God. We begin to tell the enemy that finances don't belong to you. You're going to release them. You're going to let them go. I know you're trying to hinder them. I know that you are trying to hinder the blessing, but you can't because they belong to us. We have a work to do here. And finances were released. That's why that God, I've been praying for years for diverse streams of income to come into this church. And God is going to provide it. You need to be praying for the obstacles to get out of our way so that we can finish what God has for us here. This is not just about that. This is to not just to enrich this house, but it's to bless many. Because God's called us to lend and not to borrow. And we will be a house that will lend to many. We will be a house that the trees of the healing, the leaves of the trees for healing will be here. The nations are here to be able to do it. God's called you to be a source of blessing and strength and power and beauty. And everything tells you the very opposite. I say it's time to stand up and say, this is who I am. God's called me to dominion. And whatever I don't have dominion over, one at a time, God's going to give me the grace. Come on, stand with me today.